episode of Small School Big Tech. This is Danny Silva along with
Andrew Schwab.
Hey, we didn't mention Twitter. I'm IT Chag on Twitter.
I don't worry about it. All right, so what are we talking about? I think we have...
That's another Schwab,
by the way. It's not like I... You know, I haven't even looked at my follower count, and I'm starting to think that I'm past caring at this point.
Oh, so you've gotten so many you don't care anymore.
No, I'm just thinking that...
He doesn't care about you, don't follow him anymore.
Well, let's not go that far. What I'm thinking is that I can only follow so many people. I know you follow tons of people back, but I'm only following like 300 people. I can't keep up with the people that I follow now. And I don't know. I think until you get into like the millions, which maybe one day you will because you're Mr. IT Jag.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for what I use it for right now, it's basically my primary source of news, and it's perfect for that. And I'm really hesitant to mess with it.
Well, I also have, you're following EdTech and IT Tech, or IT.
Very few IT Tech, but yeah.
Or IT Ed, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Where I am following Ag Teachers, FFA, EdTech, and Administration.
Right.
So I have a lot more groups, and then I also follow every single Google Twitter account they have. So,
gee, I wonder why that is.
Well, not everyone. I shouldn't say
well,
everyone.
Well, and I'm also following, I don't know what I would call what, education reformers?
Yeah, I have a few of those.
People who I think are the ones that should be setting education policy instead of the people we have setting education policy. But
and I just found a bunch of Moodle accounts that I...
Oh, I might need to start following those. Interesting.
Which, like Moodle Security, Moodle Now, Moodle News, there's all kinds of them. So I'm following 972 people right now.
How many people are following you?
1056.
Oh, you...
Careful, this is a G-rated broadcast.
Family-friendly show, yes.
All right, but you have like 8 million tweets, and I have 3,000, so...
You Google-certified teacher, you? There, that's the best I can do.
Okay.
What are we talking about today, speaking
well,
of Google?
You put up on here even the...
Me? Don't blame it on me.
Chrome OS... CR48 notebook. Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people are talking about it. A lot of people are begging for theirs. A lot of people signed up.
I can sum it up in one easy sentence.
What's that?
Eh.
Nah, I wouldn't go that far. Yeah. What I said to Mark Hammonds. Mark Hammonds got his the day after or the next day after the
announcement.
And then I got mine the day after that.
It's funny how those people with the GCT tag seem to have gotten theirs before
you know what's funny,
else.
Though? There's only two, maybe three of us that have them out of all the GCTs, or at least that have announced that we have them.
That's kind of sad.
I said that it's so simple and so easy, it's underwhelming.
And I think that's actually a pretty accurate way to describe it.
It's very underwhelming because I took it out of the box. I was completely excited. It was like Christmas Day. And I opened it up, launched it, got logged in, got on Chrome, and I thought to myself, now what? Because basically, you're
in a browser.
I'm in a browser. I could have been on my MacBook. I could have been on my Acer netbook. I could have been on anything, and it would have felt the same.
Which is a lot of what the reviews have been saying.
Which, if... In one way, I bet you that's what Google wanted. Google wants something that's simple, plain and easy. You log into the network or not log into the browser and you're done. You're in the browser.
Well, I think Google wants you using their services and on the web. That's what they want.
Well, that's true too.
And this is an easy way to get you there. I don't know that there's really... This is the thing I'm trying to wrap my head around. By the way, I did not get one. However, my wife did. So,
but who filled out the application?
Let's see. Did I read all that thing? Her? No, I did. I filled it out for her on her behalf. But so anyway, I was hoping to get one, and then I come home and she's like, "What's this?" I'm like, "Ooh," and then she wouldn't let me touch it. So, but what I found was one, I really like the hardware, the design. I like the slip resistant exterior coating. I like the minimal lines. I like the way it feels.
But see, I do like the package as well, that it's in, but it is so, It's a generic grayish black with a very...
It's minimalist.
It's subdued.
It's like... It's
underwhelming.
I heard somebody refer to it as... You know, it's the old MacBook, the black MacBook that everybody wanted.
It looks just like a black MacBook.
Except the trackpad.
Well, the trackpad looks right, but it just doesn't work
very well.
Very well.
Or I'll be less nice. It sucks.
Well, the biggest thing is sometimes you click, and when you click, the mouse jumps halfway across the screen, or you barely move, and it'll jump the mouse all over the place.
So I'll say this, because I think what I read was that it's a synaptic pad, and maybe Google should call up Jim Klein and figure out how he got synaptic drivers working on UberMix, because the UberMix works way better with the touchpads than that thing does. And I think it's a driver issue, not a hardware issue.
That would make sense.
There's another funny thing. You know, Java seems to be missing.
Well, but isn't... I don't know if it's completely missing, but I think you were right the other day when you said you think
The Sun Java is missing. They're probably running
the open source, because I went to a screen capture website, screencastle.com, and it would not run.
Well, it was looking for Java.
It was looking for Java, couldn't find Java, and so it wouldn't run. But what's funny is I went to my MacBook and tried to run it, and it wouldn't run it either.
Oh, interesting.
And I went to install Java. Java tells me that Mac...
Has its own,
has to install it through your updates.
Yep.
And I have no updates to install, so...
So it's possible that that site is looking for a very specific version of Java. Because it ran fine on your on the Linux box, right?
Ran fine on the Linux box, and it also ran fine on my 27-inch Mac.
Oh, well, you may not have updated your Java on the MacBook Pro.
So it was strange. So it might be, and that might be a bad case scenario then.
So we'll have to try Java on something else. Well, you'll have to, because I don't think my wife's going to let me near it again.
Well, and that's... I wanted to try it, because I felt after it wouldn't work on the Chrome OS book, I wanted to try it on the MacBook, and when I got home and I tried it, and it didn't work on that, I was like, okay, maybe it's not so bad after all.
No, it's still pretty limited. What I find... This is what I find interesting, is that you have a device now that's basically, it's just a browser. And that's kind of what I looked at when we went to netbooks with UberMix on them. I was like, didn't I say, I told everybody, this is just the way to get you to the internet, right? Yeah. It'll run all these nice apps locally and you can play around with all that. But really, it's just a way to get you to the internet. And that's kind of been what our thin clients have been as well. They're just a way to get you to the internet.
So I just launched Screencastle on this 21-inch Mac, and it just worked. And so...
Maybe their site's having problems.
It could be their sites, or it might be the applets, because it was wanting to install a specific applet to make it run. So who knows what's going on. But it's... Well, and what's Google's main goal is to get as many people on the internet, searching the internet, playing on the internet as possible. Well, what does a Chrome OS netbook do?
Gets them there. I will say this, though. It's limited. It's limiting, right? You can't do everything in a browser yet. I think we're kind of there. But realistically, you really can't. Now, I missed the demo, so I didn't see all the cool stuff with Citrix and the ability to access Windows applications through Citrix in Chrome OS. So that might have possibilities there. I think, and this kind of goes to what Chris Dawson was saying in his post about...
I just looked that up. Chrome netbooks, welcome to the easiest student laptop ever.
Yeah.
We'll post a link for
you.
So
we'll post a link to his write-up, because I thought he was point on, which was if this is all going to come down to price point. If this thing is in the $200 range, it becomes hugely viable for schools, especially for our school, because we are running Google Apps for Education. We could hand this very easily to a student. They log into their Google Apps. They got all their docs. They got their storage. Everything's online. They have access to it. That's great for its school, and we could probably afford to do one-to-one at a $200 price point. What we'll have to wait and see is how they deal with offline. Because if 60% of our kids don't have internet at home, and we give them this device, and they don't have internet when they go home, we're going to have problems.
And that's an HTML5. They're working on that. That's supposed to come out in early spring,
right?
Is what I've heard, or at least 2011, early 2011. The other thing that's coming out, which... was shown on the video, which they were running the beta version. I don't think they were running the version that's on the machines right now. I'd have to go home and check, because Chrome 9, mm-hmm. which we're on Chrome 8 right now, has OpenGL, maybe it's OpenGL, but it's GL in the browser. So what that means is better graphics in the browser, which means now you don't need a graphics card.
Well, no,
as much because
GL would it's still rendering off your graphics card.
Oh,
but it's just bringing graphics rendering in the browser.
In the browser, okay, I got that backwards. But
excuse me, I am sick.
So,
and I am still here podcasting for you people.
So with that, and a lot of you might have seen already, or have noticed, or have come across the Google Body.
No, I saw that tweet.
And the only way you can run it right now is if you run the beta version of Chrome.
So you have to be running Chrome 9.
You have to be running Chrome 9.
No other browser will support it?
I don't think so.
That's horrible.
Well, it's because it's a work in progress and they're trying to make... But it's...
I think they're trying to make you run Chrome.
Somebody tweeted out that you need a fast internet connection to make it look nice, and you need Chrome 9.
And again, this goes to my concern with the Google direction, which is they're assuming always connected, right? I mean, if you got a CR48, they gave you 2 years of 100 megabytes of Verizon per month for free.
Yeah, which 100 megabytes is nothing.
It's nothing, but it is connectivity.
Yes.
And I think that's a recognition that they're saying, if you're going to live in this universe, which is the Chrome OS universe, you have to be connected, right? So how do we translate that into our small rural school district with our students, where many of them do not have internet access at home?
But I think, well, again, you didn't watch the podcast, or not the podcast, but the press release.
I was not brainwashed by Google's propaganda.
They had a lot of stuff about offline connectivity, and they talked about that quite a bit.
Well, and I think they have to, because it's a huge missing
piece. It is a huge piece. So we'll see what happens in the spring, because...
I can't wait that long. Hurry up, Google.
Google Docs needs it for sure.
Well, and that was one of the things that I missed when I switched over to the multiple account thing, because offline doesn't work anymore when you enable the ability to switch between multiple Gmail accounts.
Yeah.
It's one of the things you lose, and I always felt that was really important. Even though I didn't use it that much, just the ability to go offline and have that local cache available I thought was a big deal. So, yeah, but that we'll definitely have to wait and see what happens with that. But I'm hopeful. If they can bring the price point in on where it needs to be for us, I think it will definitely be a viable option. Compared to something like the iPad. And the next thing that's kind of hanging out there are all the Chrome or the Android tablets that are supposed to be coming out. And what are those going to look like, and how much are those going to cost? And really, I'm not as concerned about what device we get a student, as long as we get every student a device. And to do that, the price point has to be there.
Well, yeah, because an iPad is, you might as well get a netbook.
Yeah, because
they're cheaper.
Yep.
And then now you jump up to an iPad, and what's the next jump? Would be a MacBook or a full-fledged laptop.
Although even in iPad territory, you're in full-fledged laptop territory there. But I think, you know...
Yeah, because you can buy a $500 laptop.
But a four-hour battery doesn't cut it in education. No. You know, that's not going to work.
Where an iPad has you beat right there. But you also have some limitations that you don't have.
Yeah, I think you can work around the limitations, though.
So
I think having an always-on device for the whole day is the biggest... with internet access, with a full browser...
And
the ability
battery,
to edit Google Docs.
The battery life with Chrome OS CR48 has been pretty decent for me.
Yeah, I don't know. Mine's, or my wife's. Oops. It's my wife's, really. She doesn't let me touch it. But it's actually been sitting on the couch for the last day and a half, so I'll go home and open it and see if it's on.
Well, they said days of standby time.
I know. I read that.
So we'll see if that's true.
Well, you saw how big that battery is.
It's a huge battery.
Yeah.
It takes up... Basically, it's about... almost half of the bottom of the netbook.
It's probably a good volume-wise, what, 40%, 35%, 40%? I mean, it's
massive. Oh, yeah. Compared to the Acer battery, it's probably four times the size. 3 to 4 times the size of the Acer battery. And that's a 6L. So, and it's not that heavy.
No. Oh, I love the hardware. I really do. If I could put Ubuntu on that thing, that would be my dream.
Now, system. You have a couple of links up here. Chrome for Enterprise and ADM files. We're going in a geek out moment here.
It's not geek out.
Well, it's IT moment.
If you're an IT person, you'll understand what this means. So they've released an MSI file of Chrome.
I'll hum for you back here, teachers.
Yeah, yeah. What this means is that us IT people can deploy Chrome using our favorite IT tools. So we can actually push it out over the network and install it. And on top of that, they've released ADM files, which are management templates or policy templates for group policy that will integrate with Active Directory and allow us to control certain settings within Chrome. So we can actually push out configurations and manage it, which we love to do.
So two things. One, we just switched from Chrome OS to Chrome the browser.
Correct. We're now talking Chrome the browser.
And what this means for a teacher means you could run Chrome at school because your IT person could push it out to your desktop. For those of you who have IT people that only let you run what they put on your machine, it's possible now for them to run Chrome for you.
Yes, and manage it so that they can
keep it up to date,
how you use it, and
like
control
that.
The update process and all that stuff. So, and with the Chrome Sync feature, you could actually set yours up so that you log into your Chrome at work, and then you could sync it to every instance where you log into Chrome. And that was kind of the exciting part about Chrome OS, was this idea that no matter what Chrome OS device you log into, it follows you around.
Well, okay, so what Andrew's talking about is and if you click on the wrench, you can go to preferences. Well, I guess if you're in Apple, same thing. And personal stuff, you can set up sync. And you can choose to, I believe you can set up extensions, themes, as well as, I don't have this one set up at school because kids use this computer as well. But extensions, themes, and bookmarks are the big three for me. There's a couple others on there, which is awesome because now I don't have to share bookmarks across something like Xmarks.
Hey, I like Xmarks.
Well, I do too, but
you can
just
sync apps, autofill, bookmarks, extensions, preferences.
Oh, I forgot
themes.
About apps. Apps now with the new one. Autofills, good for people that like to save their password.
Sorry, my coughing is getting out of hand.
So really cool stuff. And so if you can run Chrome at school now you can sync with your browser at home. You're searching for stuff at home. You bookmark it. You come to school, and the bookmark's there for you. So that's cool stuff. And I'm running Chrome at school, but that's because I have the admin password, so I can install stuff in my box. Plus, I'm not running a Windows machine now. I'm running Linux. So I can install whatever I want on that machine.
Yeah, I still can't believe you made that change.
Okay, so off to another story, I guess.
Okay.
And we only have one more thing on the show notes as of right now, and that's Google Demo Slam. We talked a little bit about this the other day, but
you're just infatuated with this Demo Slam stuff.
I love the stuff that people come up with. Well, I even saw you tweeted one the other day. This one's called the Epic Docs Animation. And if you haven't not gone on YouTube and checked this out, you need to. It's a 450-slide Google presentation that, when played quickly, basically turns it into an animation. And
it's pretty neat.
It's really neat. And they're basically using all kinds of pie charts and tables and spreadsheets and different things that they're bringing into this.
No one can explain what Epic Docs animation is. You have to see it for yourself.
Well, yes, but I was just going to say they're using a lot of different tools.
Yeah, it's neat. They're using shapes and stuff to
kind make
of
the
move.
Animations,
yeah.
And it's really cool what they've done.
Very creative.
In fact, I had to do double takes once in a while because I thought they were actually moving the page when they're actually just moving the elements on the page.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was pretty incredible. 3 days with three people collaborating on this to finish it up. It's well worth the check out. Kind of shows you the power of what Google Presentations can do, even though, in my opinion, I don't know what you think, Andrew, but I think Google Presentations is probably the weakest link of the suite right now.
Wasn't it the only one that really hasn't been revamped?
It's the only one that hasn't been revamped. And if I had a guess, I'm sure they're working on something, but nobody knows, of course.
What? You mean you guys don't have some super secret newsletter that goes out?
I have no idea. But with the big changes in docs, the big changes in spreadsheets, I'm guessing a big change has to come with presentations. If I could pick one thing to change about presentations or to add to presentations, that would be the ability to embed into the presentation.
Mm, yeah. Well, you can, just limited.
No. You cannot embed into the presentation.
Not embed, but you can go pull video from YouTube.
You can pull a YouTube video.
Which isn't embedding.
It's not.
You want a generic embed code.
I want a generic where it's basically like a site where you can just say, I want to embed this. Now you could put an interactive website on the presentation.
Yeah. As long as they don't make it more like PowerPoint where you can do all the animations and the fancy themes and all that stuff. Because then that's all our students are going to do.
I understand. I know. In one way, I agree with you, but I think the writing's on the wall if you look at a few of the things.
No. That,
well, look at some of the things that Google's released lately for either Gmail, present or spreadsheets, whatever.
I don't know. I don't pay attention to it like you do. So.
Well, you were happy about one the other day. You tweeted it out even before I did.
You think?
And
okay.
That was
first
that,
off, you're making an assumption that I read my retweets before
was,
I actually retweet.
No, it wasn't a retweet. You tweeted it. It was on Gmail.
Somebody hacked my Twitter account. It wasn't me.
And what was Gmail? What has Gmail let us do now?
Well, the only reason I retweeted that was because tons of people were asking for it, and now it allows for a delegated sending.
Yes, and so
or delegated access to your account.
And what is that following though? Who?
Well, it's okay.
Microsoft has always done it, right?
But the issue is, if you're going
to
be an enterprise player, you have
to
have
do
it.
That.
Your secretary needs to be able to send email on your behalf. That simple.
Yes, but I see some things.
If I had a secretary, which
I see some things working that they do.
Executive assistant
shows off things that are capable in Office that are now capable in.
Well, yeah, no, and that's understandable. I'm just saying I like the cleanness right now of presentation.
I do too.
I would like to see it evolve. And I still think it's a little clunky compared to what they've done with, you know...
Docs and spreadsheets,
yeah.
Yes.
So I'd like to see more power in formatting and some of the other stuff. And maybe master slide themes and all that kind of stuff. But I don't want it to just...
You don't want to rewrite PowerPoint.
No, because
yeah, and I agree
there
with
is PowerPoint.
That.
What do you need?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Or Keynote. Actually, I need to start playing with Keynote because that...
Well, and I don't know if they want to go full-fledged... Because, well, and I don't know, this could be, but a lot of times I've hear from Google, or a few times I've heard from Google employees, the simplicity is what they love about Google presentations, and that's right with mm-hmm. what you said. And if they start adding things, now you take the simplicity away.
Right.
Unless they can keep it as simple as insert, done.
Yeah.
But I don't know, because you mentioned Keynote. And I've heard this comment from somebody before. Some of you might have heard of Slide Rocket, which you can get with Google Apps. You can tie it to Google Apps. Slide Rocket has been called the Keynote of web presentations. And I've actually played with it a little bit. And there is so much stuff you can do with Slide Rocket. I almost got lost in the presentation tools.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just so much going on. And so that is the extreme opposite of presentation.
Right.
So
well, and then you throw stuff like Prezi into the mix, which is just a different way of looking at things. And
yeah.
I mean, the bottom line is presentations. What are the most effective presentations now?
Simple
and it's videos, right? I mean, what do you watch now? You watch videos.
Yeah.
So I think... if you really wanted to go fancy, you should have a suite that allows you to bring in and really make simple like video presentations, kind of like Animoto does with Slideshow. I mean, you know, slideshows. They make it real easy to do really good looking slideshows.
Well, but you also have two different sides of the coin there, because Steve Jobs is not going to get up and play something like an Animoto.
No, he has professionally produced videos that roll into his keynotes.
Well, there you go. But out of his keynotes that I've seen, he usually doesn't have too many videos. It's usually just a few pictures and a few...
Oh, but he'll have videos to accent emphasize a point.
Yes.
And they're always
yes.
interspersed. But generally speaking, if you look at his presentations, it's a lot of images.
Well,
and
yes.
And he talks around the images, so...
And, I don't know, right now I think if you were to ask anybody, he's probably the person that you would put against anybody else as far as the ultimate in speaking and presentations.
It's the distortion field that he creates.
Well, that, I guess.
That's a good question, though. What you know, like, if you're teaching students how to present, what are you teaching them?
Are you teaching them old school bullets with PowerPoint and lots of animations and crazy sound effects, or are you teaching them less is more?
I mean, I would hope that we're teaching them to know the topic on which they're talking and that they could even give a presentation without having any slides or any PowerPoint and be able to speak knowledgeably on the topic. Unfortunately, I don't think that's really what we do.
No, because we worry about the presentation so much, and our students worry about the next transition and the next color and the next music before they worry about anything else.
And I'm sure the rubrics all have to do with the tools and not the topics.
But. Well, and that's the case. Are you teaching them how to build a presentation, or are you teaching them how to present? And that's completely two different things.
Exactly.
One is just basically a tool, and the other one is actually teaching them how to do something.
I'm teaching them how to communicate.
Well, there you go. Well, and I think I presented the other day in Pomona to some ag teachers, about 50 ag teachers, a couple different sessions, and I went over 50 web tools, and I can't help it but talk about how we use them in class because they want to know that. And so, of course, I brought up screen captures, and I brought up how you're using screen captures in class with presentations.
What? You can't talk about me without my consent.
Oh, of course I can. and people were digging on that. They were loving that. And so that is just another way of doing a presentation now. Now they can actually post that online if they wanted to. And like you've come across, they actually do better.
I think I'm gonna experiment. We're going to do more. And I want to see if they reach a certain comfort level with actually speaking, because that's really what it is, right? You're talking out loud, which is not necessarily a natural thing to do unless you're having a one-on-one conversation. We're all used to that.
Yeah.
We're not used to just talking out loud. And so I want to see if this gets them more comfortable with that. Also, I think I'm going to be revisiting the same kind of theme so that we're sticking with the same content area so that when I do have them actually give a real presentation in front of the class, they're going to hopefully have developed this large pool of knowledge that they can draw on for that presentation. And they'll have already verbalized it out loud just to a computer instead of the class.
So they know the information.
Mm-hmm.
They're familiar with the information. They've touched the information. And now they're just presenting the information. And it's going to come across...
Right.
Like they know the information,
yeah.
Which a lot of times our kids come across like they don't know the information because they don't know the information.
It's all up on the slide.
Yes. And
anyway, it's an experiment. We'll see how it goes. But I'm excited about it. That's cool. You can talk about me. I don't care.
You know, just I didn't put your name anywhere, of course.
What? You didn't even put my Twitter handle? That's why I only have 653 followers. Wow, that's sad. It hasn't moved in a while. Okay, so we don't have that much more to talk about, which is good because I think we're under a time limit. But I do want to kind of roll back to the CR48. And I was thinking that there are a couple other things besides the fact that it's pretty much just a browser right now. But I was going to ask you if you'd had a chance to play with any of the web apps, because that's another announcement that Google had, which was the web app store.
Okay, I don't know if I've actually played with a lot of them on the Chrome netbook, but mm-hmm. I've played with, because I have them all synced because the Chrome browser works exactly the same on the Chrome OS netbook as it does on I guess it's a notebook. I keep flip-flopping.
Yeah, it's a notebook.
It's a notebook. It's 12 inches.
It's a notebook.
The notebook, I have the exact same apps on every one of my computers. So I have played with the web apps, and they all work great. There's a lot. Some of them are just basically links,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of them that are actually like basically it goes full screen and it looks like an application that launches.
Well, from what I've read, there's two types. There are the links, which are basically web apps, and then there are actually packages that download and run, but they run within the browser.
Yes.
Did you get sucked in by Plants vs. Zombies?
Not yet.
Oh.
I'm actually playing with Steambirds, I believe it's called. It's a turn-based, World War II airplane flying game.
Turn-based. I'll have to look at that. Yeah. I forget. I think Jay Nettman, or Jim Klein, at Jay Nettman 1, tweeted out that Plants vs. Zombies in the Chrome Web App Store was free. So I immediately downloaded it and then got sucked into the black hole of gaming. And my wife had to come in and say, what is this? I thought you were working.
Yeah.
I'm beta testing.
The one thing I did try out was a couple of Sesame Street ones.
Mm.
And that launched just like an application. It was a little video with interactive video. So you actually see the video. Then it's got little stars, and you can move the hats around and put hats. And it's a counting game.
Was that the PBS Kids one? Or?
No, PBS Kids is actually not free.
I know. That's why I was...
I was very disappointed in that. But this was an Elmo. Elmo has hats or something like that. Mm. It's an Elmo one. And then they have another one that's a Grover.
Oh, Grover. My favorite. So, I'll have to check that out.
There's a few cool ones. I downloaded a few. Some of them are super clean,
mm-hmm.
and people put the time into them. And some of them are linked to iPad apps or iPhone apps. So now you log in, and whatever you do on the app on Chrome is going to be should be linked up with what your app on your phone.
That's basically a web app.
Well, yeah, but
this whole idea of web apps, I have a. It seems odd to pay for an application that runs on the web. That's just me. I mean, I'm...
Well, yeah, but basically you're paying for the service.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much.
You're not paying for the application, you're paying for the service.
Right.
And that's where, like, the pbskids.org... I was a little disappointed because PBS is free, and here all of a sudden...
Well, PBS is public television that's funded by donations and stuff, but I guess they have to make money somehow.
Well, so yeah, I understand that. I was expecting it to be free since it was PBS and you can watch PBS for free, but...
Well, what's funny is, though, you can go to Sesame Street online, you know, sesamestreet.com
or whatever. We did that. I was on there last night with my little girl. She was digging it. The little cartoon, a little coloring games and stuff.
I made the mistake of... I took an old laptop and I put Mint, which is a version of Ubuntu, on it. And, set it up for my, at the time, 4-year-old, and, you know, it put her on Sesame Street online with all the games and stuff, and she's playing on it. And at some point in time, I must have said it was her laptop. So now, she's always comes over to me and says, Daddy, can I play on my laptop?
Oh, yes. My little white, I have an 8.9-inch Acer, one of the original Acers, and that's my daughter's laptop. I want the laptop, my laptop.
Yeah, so, I guess I've lost that laptop forever now.
I'm looking over the size now.
Uh-oh.
Okay, right. Sorry.
Danny just got us banned from
we're
YouTube,
off of YouTube
for copyright infringement. It's okay, we don't go on YouTube. All right, I think that's pretty much it.
I think that's another show all finished up. Oh, here it comes again. Sorry, I'm getting the link. Okay, everybody break down. Here comes the music.
Elmo was waiting for you.
Okay, sorry.
All right, Elmo.
Yeah, if you got little kids, check out Sesame Street.
Is it .org or .com?
.org. So I put it on the show notes since we were talking about it. Hey, this kind of went all over the place, but hey, what show doesn't? I think we stayed more in education than ever today, though.
Yeah, it's all Google's fault.
Well, you know.
Blame Google for everything. All right, so are we done?
That's another show all finished up.
Roll the music minus the Elmo.
Music. By Kevin McLeod.
Done.
Recording.
The big red button.
Button.
School's over. And we're here doing what? Friday afternoon.